Recording is progressing. Great. I'm very excited about this because we've been talking about truth, right? Practical Christianity. What truth is, how truth sets you free, forgiveness for your daughter, her, not for her, but her to have forgiveness, that she'd be set free from the bondage of unforgiveness. You know, we've heard it said before, and not that this is about her or anything, but it was just a subject matter that was out. Living in unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and hoping the other person dies.
Right.
That's the base of it, because it's killing you on the inside. As you said, that Jesus said when he was teaching us how to pray, forgive that you might be forgiven. You know, if you don't have forgiveness, then you won't receive forgiveness. Right? So those are some truths that we need to know. We talked about Pontius Pilate asking, what is truth? Amen. Probably one of the greatest questions that was ever posed in the whole Word of God, when truth was standing right there in his face.
Yeah.
But he was so blinded by his power, he was blinded by the unctioning or the pulling and pushing of the people, the prodding of the people. And what is truth? Well, truth is Christ. It is the very Word of God. Then we went on and we talked about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. We talked about the Spirit of truth being in you, and that Jesus' word is truth from John 17. And we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says verse 15, but there's much more than verse 15. You can't just pick it up in 15. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, I guess start with the first therefore in verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before God that they strive not about with words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. All right, so there's two folks he points out that were preaching wrong,
right?
And who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. And prepare us unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. All right, and then he talks about the last days, perilous time shall come. All right, so in those little bits of scripture that we just looked at, there are some things that I wrote down, rightly dividing the word. How important is it to rightly divide the word of truth, and why?
It's everything.
Yes, everything.
Your doctrine has to come from at least two verses that
match. Well, at least two.
At least two.
All right. So it's not even... So we do that to show ourselves approved unto God, right? All right. Rightly divide the word. And that means knowing what the word says. That means, to me, what it means, I need to understand how it was written, what time was written, you know, the things that they were going through while it was written, and that it matches other places in the Bible, because you can take one scripture and make a whole false doctrine out of it. You know,
to
right?
me, it's already been done.
Right. Yeah.
You have two testaments, 66 books, chapters, and verses.
Right.
And they're divided by God.
Amen. Right. Yes. No doubt.
So when he was talking to Timothy, that hadn't been done yet.
True. Yeah, this is before the New Testament. Well, this is part of the New Testament
before
being written.
It was completed, right, before, and the whole canon was together.
Amen, absolutely. But there is a reason that we as preachers and teachers and people of God need to rightly divide the word of truth.
Know where you're reading and put it in time and put it in space.
And how it applies to you.
Thank you.
How it applies. Everything. Yes. Every word in here applies to us.
Right. And it's not just for our edification, but it's for the edification of everyone. It is the gospel of God, okay? And this gospel of God, I think of it like a magnet. It has two sides, one that will repel and one that will draw.
Right.
So rightly dividing the word of truth is knowing which side of the magnet to use, right? Because you can, I don't know if y'all have ever done it, but I have turned people away by using the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Incorrectly.
Yeah.
It is the sword of the spirit, not the battle axe of the human.
That's right.
But to me, you get that by relying on the spirit, because that's his job.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. So how many folks that are Christian actually do that? Rely on the spirit.
Read this. How are they going to know
it? My brother, you're right. If you ain't reading it, you can't get it. The spirit of God cannot withdraw out of an empty cup.
Right.
Right. If there's nothing in there, you can't get nothing out of it.
Most cults come out of taking one verse and just not looking around and not comparing it to other scriptures and taking that one verse, and now all of a sudden, you know, we're Calvinists.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We're Catholics.
Right,
you know?
Yes.
And so this, in Isaiah 28:9 says, to whom shall I teach knowledge? To whom shall I make understand doctrine? So
yes.
Where he uses that. Them that are weaned from the milk. So we are to come off of the milk that are drawn from the breast. For precept must be on precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little.
There a little, every
so,
jot and tittle.
So you have to, you can't just make a doctrine out of one verse.
Yes.
You have to walk circumspect around that and then compare it to other verses in the Bible of the same idea.
There's pastors that make a whole message about one verse.
Right.
Amen. Yes.
So they do all the talking and God gets one sentence.
Right. April. Golly. Go ahead.
The other thing, going back to what Doug said, you know, being led by the Spirit, just because you do share the gospel and somebody has a harsh reaction to it does not mean you should not have shared the gospel.
Amen.
You know, it is the Spirit that tells us. If we upset somebody, we have to look at ourselves and say, is there something I missed? Is there something... But often, I think the answer is no.
And you need to be prepared to walk away. Shake the dust off your feet. And,
Or know that a seed has been planted.
Yeah, and ask
a
God.
A seed they don't want.
Yes, and you ask God to take care of it after you've done that.
Exactly.
Right. Well, Apollos planted, Paul watered, but God gave the increase.
Right. And there's no guarantee that somebody's going to eventually get saved.
No.
That could be, you know... God says that he does this as a witness. So when somebody stands before God, and if they rejected it, God will say, I sent you, Curtis.
Right.
You didn't want to listen.
Right.
You know?
And then their blood, if you're the watchman on the wall, then your blood, their blood is on your hands.
That's right.
If you don't do it.
That's
but if you do it, and they don't receive it, then that's their problem.
Yeah. Well, and that's what the rich man was told when he was in... seeing Lazarus in Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
He says, send Lazarus back. And he says, no. He says, your brothers will have the same word
that
you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got Moses. Say, they got the prophets.
Have
and where are those?
That's right.
Scripture.
Yeah, you've got to go there.
It was the known scripture of that time because, as you said, the rest of the Bible hadn't been canonized as of, excuse me, as of yet.
We don't save anybody.
There's
a
big
thing. The gospel has been dispensed to us so we could dispense it
to others. Yeah.
God gathers the fruit.
Very much like a pitcher of water, right? The faucet taps it out, and there's obviously what we would consider an infinite supply.
Right.
Goes into the pitcher. We got a limited supply.
Right.
And we don't get filled up until we get emptied out.
Yeah.
Because if you kept filling the same pitcher that never gets emptied out, it just overflows and makes a mess in the kitchen.
The illustration a pastor used to say is, it is like a hot water heater. It continues to be filled.
Yes.
It is not full, and then it's done. It continues to come in, and as it empties, it fills.
Fills back up. Yeah. Amen. That is the sum of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, rightly dividing that, not for, it says that the workman might be approved unto God. So, as we are the church, and we're reading the Word of God, and we're applying the Word of God correctly, we're doing that God might be pleased, right? Mm-hmm. Rightly, you know, so that we would not be ashamed. All right, we rightly divide the word. All right, brain blank. It went all. Have y'all ever been doing it? Just like nothing's there. It's the space, the final frontier
only
comes up.
Only old.
Yeah, I'm sure Amanda doesn't have that problem. Honey, it's coming. It's coming. You ain't got it yet. You get enough of that cat hair in you, you'll be there.
Well, like you said, too, it says to show thyself approved unto God.
Yeah, amen.
God does not, you know, this idea that, you know, I forget what the word they use that you just read from Genesis to Revelation. He wants you to study the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But that works both ways.
Right.
Each one of us have read something in the Bible and said, you know what, I wouldn't have done it that way.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. And God says, listen, Alan, this is your mission.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Justin, this is your mission. You go, Justin says, well, yeah, but I'd rather be like Pastor Curtis. No, that's not your
mission. That's not your mission, yeah.
Okay, approved unto God,
right.
Not unto man.
Yeah. Right.
That's good. And that's where we fall, because we go, I can't even keep up with my brother David, and I told God that.
Yeah.
He says, you know, it's time to put the sandals on, and I can't even lace them. He goes, you don't have to lace them. Just wear them.
There you go.
Just do what you
know.
Do.
Your feet will grow into it,
yeah.
You know, as you walk in the righteousness of God.
Right.
John 15, it's about abiding, right? Abiding in God, and you will bear, what, much fruit.
Right.
And the Father is glorified in you bearing much fruit.
Yeah.
But you cannot bear much fruit, first, without abiding, and without rightly dividing.
Right.
That means weighing, dividing the word. When should I speak, when should I not speak? When should I be harsh, when should I be gentle? Right? And that takes the unctioning of the Holy Spirit within you that says, all right, I'm going to drive you this way. No, I'm going to drive you this way. God knows what the individual needs more than you know or desire to witness to him.
Yeah. When I was traveling up here, it's very strange. This is my life that I'm, you know, that I'm doing the things that I'm doing. This is not what I would have said like 10 years ago, right? So, so I'm driving, I'm thinking, were it not that my Father is the one that put me here?
Right.
If it were not that he was the one that put me here, I would have said, I'm not as strong as you think I am. I'm not as strong as you think I am. But it is my Father.
Right.
And so I know he's leading me into a deeper walk with him and a trust in him. And that's exactly what you were just saying. It is, what am I to be used for? And then yielding to that. Not because you're all happy that that's what you're going, oh, yay, I'm going to, but, and yet I knew that that's
what you're. Yeah, well, the persecuted.
You have to be honest when you ask that, because he's then going to give you an answer.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you may not like the answer.
You may not.
And the fact is,
but
we find so much comfort in our circumstance that when your circumstance changes through death, a fire in a home, whatever it might be, when your circumstance changes, your first reaction is to go back to that.
Right.
You want to go back to that. That's what I know.
Because that was my comfortable spot.
That's what I understood. But that's not where he wants us.
Mm-mm.
He wants us where we don't understand, because then when we don't understand, it's Abba, Father, and falling before him. And I can't do this. And he reminds us, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You need me.
Yeah. True test of faith.
Yeah.
You got to believe him.
Yeah.
Another verse here that goes along with rightly dividing and studying to show us 2 Timothy 3, we all know it's 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. All truth is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. So we could reproof somebody who's right teaching a wrong guy for correction. Where it's given to us to correct people that are in error for an instruction. I need to instruct my daughter in righteousness, right? That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished in all good works. So rightly dividing causes you to be right with God, and he wants to use you for reproof, for correction.
Right. And in that, along with where we're reading in verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit.
Yeah.
So we can get carried away in one thing where God's saying, I need to work on them in this thing, but I want to get this thing out. I feel like I got to tell them this.
Yep.
And God is saying, no, this is what I want them to know. Tells us in Jude, I would say 1:23, but just 23, all right? Talked about some are saved by the through the fire or out of the fire. All right, so there are times that you need to be right hard with people.
Yes.
But if you're being hard with the wrong people, you're actually closing the door.
You don't put meat in an infant's mouth.
Right. They get choked.
Don't put meat in an infant's mouth.
And it's not your decision.
Amen.
It's God's decision.
And that's discernment.
That's why
you
got to listen.
That's discernment. Yeah. That's why you got to listen.
It's in season and out of
season. Yeah, in season and out of season.
Yeah, always be with the proverb that says, answer a fool according to his folly, and don't answer a fool according.
Right.
The discernment, like you said, Curtis, comes from us by the Holy Spirit. Do I need to set this guy in the pit of hell before so he could get pulled out of it, or should I be gentle with him?
Right. Well, it says right here, before the Lord, this is still verse 14, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers, all right? So if we strive about things that are not pertinent to the individual at the time, Kevin said, we need to be able to give an answer to every man that asks us. So there's a pattern there. There's God creates a conversation, and they ask you, all right, you just found your daughter, tell me about that. You just are facing the loss of a loved one. How are you coping with that? You just lost your family, just moved off. And just, you know, how do you cope with that? And so they'll ask you these questions. Or the individual is going through a hard time. So we study the Word of God that we might be able to give an answer in due time. Some folks, like you've witnessed to some Hebrew people, and you're able to go back, Isaiah, and you're able to lay out the Word of God to them in a way that they could understand. But I personally have taken the Word of God and chased things that they weren't seeking and actually caused a lot more damage than, I know the Word of God doesn't return void, so I'm not saying God wasn't doing it. God would have worked better if I would have listened more and spoke less.
I think we've all done.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I've been harsh.
I don't think you should have a prepared plan for anybody.
Amen.
Because God's going to direct that. And that's what you should do.
Yes.
Is, Lord, give me direction, what to say and where to go with this, instead of, well, I'm going to give you the Romans road because that's what I know.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
Whether that.
Pray after me.
Yeah, and just running through that.
Believe in your heart.
And the only preparedness that you should have is, in all questions, giving God the glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, why can you be so happy, so jolly? Oh, I'm just a funny guy. No, to God be the glory.
Right.
All right.
God gave me this joy in the midst of turmoil. Right. And so as it goes on and asks there, it says, show yourself approved unto God. Again, we study not to show ourselves approved unto other people.
Right.
That's what colleges do.
Yeah.
You know, I went to school and I got A's. Well, okay, so you're boasting. Big deal. I went to school and got F's. That was for fantastic. You know, or D's, delightful, right? And so, anyhow, you go, and not that education is wrong. Paul was a highly educated guy, very smart, but John and Peter and those guys, Andrew, they were just guys.
Right.
Right. Matthew was a smart guy. He's a tax collector, so he knew his goes intos, right? he knew his math. Luke, he was a doctor, so he knew a lot of things, herbal medicine, he knew how to do things, right? But most folks that Jesus talked to were just dirt farmers,
right.
You know, fishermen. And Jesus never set the teaching so high above the individual that they couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parables are a perfect example.
Amen. The parables are the exact example. Yes.
So you gotta realize the greatest teacher ever is teaching them for 3.5 yeah. years.
Yes.
Apostles and who are constantly with them, yeah. and they still didn't get it.
They
told them
yeah.
he was gonna die in 3 days and
raise again.
Prophecy, they have it, and they don't even get it.
They don't even get it. Amen.
But I think we all can fall into that.
Yeah.
I can say the Lord is my Father, and I trust Him implicitly, and turn around and have something happen, like, what? You know, what's
come
going
on now.
I feel
yeah.
completely lost. I
yep.
mean, we.
Well,
I
that's
what
I meant.
Our walk. Yeah.
If you're even 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, then you're still making
yeah.
yeah, bonehead
the
mistakes.
The challenge of
right.
our life is to
yeah.
incorporate what we're saying we believe this word, and putting it into
putting
action,
into
right?
Action.
The sanctification.
Yes.
He
yeah.
even snapped at them at one point.
Oh, a couple times.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's our human
oh, ye-
reactions to,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No.
Sometimes
yeah.
you need to be
reacting. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, as it said in Jude, right? Some are. Let me read that real quick. It's I got it written down here. Others are saved with fear, is really what it says. So Jude 23. Well, actually, it's a whole bunch about Jude, but if we get into Jude, we won't go anywhere else. So I just picked out this one verse because I've talked to my wife about this, and she uses this often because our grandson Xander. He says, I don't want to be saved because of fear. Okay? Right? He makes that, and Deb uses this often.
22 and 23.
Yeah, uh-huh. And some have compassion making a difference, all right? And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some are saved by fear.
That's right.
Okay? But it also tells us in Hosea, I drew them with cords of human,
yeah.
with bonds of love.
Yeah.
So he draws us, okay, and I, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, and Jesus said, I'm like that, Nick, you know, understand this. Jesus said in John 12:32, and I, if I be high and lifted up. So what are we to lift up? Is he saying walk around with a picture of Jesus on a stick, on the cross? We are to lift up what?
Christ.
Okay, who is Christ?
The Word.
Amen. We are supposed to lift up the Word of God. And if we lift up the Word of God, that's what draws people.
It's
not my
charismania.
Or my charisma, right?
Yeah.
It's not how well you can talk. It's not it's so much not about you.
Right.
You know, it's really not about us.
The scriptures have authority.
The scriptures?
They do.
So that's where it comes to study to show yourself approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed.
Right.
Rightly dividing the word. So to know the truth and then to be able to relay the truth in a situation where a person is caught in the snare of Satan. With love, with truth and grace, or grace and truth. All right, you got when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and you only use truth, stands a good chance you're going to lose them. But if you meet them with grace first, with the love of God first, and I, if I be high and lifted up, all right, and God's so, and we use this, we see, I love this scripture, but I hate using it because it's so overused, all right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believeth in him should not die. A lot of folks say shall not. The scripture says should not die, but have everlasting life. So God so loved the world, and my job as a Christian is to study the love of God, the word of God, because God is love, right? To study that, not being tangled up by words, by thoughts, by very deep theology. All right, now there's nothing wrong with theology, but sometimes Wendy said it really good. You don't give a big old juicy bite of roast to a little infant that's just nursing, or an infant that can't even nurse yet. I mean, they can't do it. I mean, before you're nursing, you're actually eating without actually chewing. You got the umbilical cord, right? And it's connected to a sac, something. What's that called? Placenta, right? And it sucks everything it needs out of that. right? We have really nothing to do with that. God took care of all that kind of stuff. The chicken has the egg. When the chicken's in the egg, it has the yolk sac that has all of the nutrients in it for the time that it's able to break out of the... And then, so as a Christian in this world, breaking it down to the simplest understanding about rightly dividing the word of truth, it's not just simply, or I believe, it's not just simply me knowing God's word. It's me being able to divide the word of God to a person that's in the need of God's word.
But I think he's saying there, you are not going to rightly divide it if you don't study.
Amen. And that, yes.
And as we said before, all scripture.
Yes.
Because if you limit to the Pauline epistles like a lot of the dispensationalists do, that's all you're getting.
That's right.
Well, we hear so many, Stanley, not Charles, but Andy Stanley. He said that you don't need the Old Testament. We don't need any of the Old Testament anymore. So you might as well just rip that part of the Bible out and throw it away. Anathema.
That's right.
That's what I say.
That's right.
You know, anathema. Let that be cursed.
70% of the New Testament is quoting the Old Testament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Does he really say that?
Yes, he absolutely said that.
The gospel itself is simplicity. So, like, when these people they're not even on milk.
Yeah.
Because they're lost. They have no spirit in them. So that's why the gospel is actually milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can understand salvation, and then after they get saved, then they have to get weaned off the milk and come on to the meat.
So I think I've shared before that theologian, I don't know who it was, Cliff used to know, but he studied and he had PhDs, he studied Hebrew, he studied Latin, he studied,
and
it came for him to speak at a very large assembly, and he came up, old man by this time, old man, his whole life studying scripture and language and history. He comes up to the podium and he said, I've learned so many things and I've understood so many things. He said, but the one thing, the most important thing I ever learned was Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so.
Right.
That's where you can have the knowledge. Exactly. You have the knowledge. Know your word. Study.
Yes.
Show thyself approved. But at the end of the day, Jesus loves me. This I know. And that's what they need to hear.
Sure.
There is charity. The greatest of these is charity.
Right.
Where tongues, they'll cease. Where prophecies, they'll cease.
Yeah. Charity of God.
Charity of God.
When you study, too, that's when the Holy Spirit can bring those verses back.
Amen.
Because they're in you.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's like we said in the beginning, God can't draw out of an empty vessel.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't put anything in there, there's nothing to come out.
Right.
Right? all right, empty.
Yeah,
can I get nothing out of that? If I hadn't pulled that last sip of coffee, amen. Yeah,
just in Hebrews 5 it says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, and even those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ.
Right.
That's the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel is the simplicity, it's the milk, it's what saves people. You are to come off of that, not stay on that for 40 years.
Yeah.
Right? Let us therefore go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God's, or doctrines of baptisms, a laying on of hands, a resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. See, you know what kills me?
Mm.
The church, this is milk.
Yeah.
But yet the church doesn't even understand baptisms and judgment of God.
Yeah.
In which, that's considered meat.
Yeah. And back then, it was considered milk.
Right.
Right? Those are the very beginnings of understanding the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the fear of the Lord. That's where you start. And then it gets deeper. The longer you walk with him, the better he gets.
The
more you study,
down
my goodness, yes.
Right?
They have. Well, just like education.
Yeah.
A child in the early 1800s in fifth grade knows more than a 12th grader in high school today.
College.
A 12th grade college student.
I thought that 8th grade math regions wouldn't pass. Math majors in college
wouldn't
be able to do it.
Yeah. Amen. And the reading comprehension things and stuff like that. I mean, you know.
I handed a teacher a paper on a final exam for the eighth graders back in, I think it was 1923 or something. And the teacher looked at it and she goes, I don't even know what half of this stuff is.
Yeah.
And I don't even, and these kids were given like 25 minutes to read a story and write a thesis.
And write a thesis. Amen.
Yeah.
We, again, when you move away from truth, truth is if you put the bar high and you expect people to get to that high bar, guess what they get to? The high bar.
That's right.
If you lower the bar down, it make it, and then you lose the ability to search and to understand and to make it your own.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you think you've arrived when you reach that low bar.
Amen.
And you don't have any incentive to go on.
Yeah, you're on the first rung of the ladder. And you never grow, you never climb to see what's really on the roof.
Yeah.
Right? You don't see the higher points because you never get to the higher points.
Well, they dropped the rating to be a honor student.
They've taken away. They've taken that away.
They couldn't stand next to an honors student.
Yeah.
Not even a regular student like 50 years ago.
Yes.
That's one of the things that Julia said that she was having trouble with when she went to Liberty University.
Yeah.
Any of the students that came from out of the country to this country had to know our presidents, the states, the state capitals. She goes, you people don't even learn about all your history.
Yeah.
We have to know it before we can come here.
Right. And, take an entrance exam to become an American citizen.
The pastor down at Mobile, he became an American citizen. And
welcome.
Asked the rest of the congregation some of the questions. Oh, didn't know. Didn't know. He just learned it. We didn't know. Yeah. It's.
And so, the same, that's in secular world.
Yes.
Right? Now, in the spiritual realm, there are so few people reading, first the right Bible, the only Bible, all right? They're reading another translation or another literalization of the Word of God and believing the Pinocchio Bible over top of the real Word of God, because they take the deity of God out, they take the power of God out, they take the resurrection of, they take the blood out of the Bible. And you're left with nothing but dry, crackered crumbs.
Yeah.
How can you study that to show yourself approved unto the Lord?
Right. Jesus said what was important when he was
being
tempted by Satan.
Yeah.
Every word of God. Not just the doctrines.
Yes.
Like
virgin
birth.
Right.
Right.
That's not enough to know that. That's not the Word of God. It's a doctrine in the Word of God.
Yeah.
But that's not knowing the Word of God.
Well, the things of old were written for our edification.
Yeah.
Right, that we would know how God handled Abraham, that we know how God handled Isaac and Jacob, how he worked with them, how he chastened them when they were sinning against the Lord, how he worked miracles over them, and how he put them in prisons to mature them for a day that they would rule the people. Right, those things are...
We're in a spiritual warfare. And the only way to arm yourself
is
all these different attacks is spiritually.
Which and is where we will be going again, Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
Right? We've got to get to that place. But before we can get to that place, we as individuals need to learn to get this desire, a hunger and a thirst that only comes from God, to rightly divide the word of truth. Being able to give an answer to every man, whatever they ask us, waiting for them to ask us.
What I find is the more you turn to it, the more you turn to the Word of God, the greater your appetite becomes.
Amen.
It's just the inverse of the, when you eat food, you eat, you satiate.
Yeah.
It seems like the more you turn to it, the more you want it.
Yes.
Because it bears truth and fruit in your life.
And a deep truth, not a guidance just for the moment, but a deeper truth that will guide you the rest of your life. You'll have that, then you go to the next. You know what I mean? That song, Higher Plane?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's our walk.
Yeah. I was thinking of a different song. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
Yeah.
Since I started for the country, when I started heading, the longer I'm heading, the more I'm digging in, the more I'm wanting to know. Go ahead, brother.
I think too, it's a... God has to do in his sundry ways. He's got to bring people to a brokenness.
Mm. Amen.
And when God has, when you have that vacancy or that void in your life, and then the Lord fills the void, now you catch fire. Now you realize, my word is truth.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'll love it.
And I can't do that for somebody.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
God's got to make them hunger and thirst.
But, I think he does that.
And he does, amen.
He brings you to a place of, yes. of struggle.
Yeah.
Because it's his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. He's not trying to remove you
Thank
from your
you.
Comfort.
That's where I'm getting to in this whole study yeah. today.
Yeah.
It's God's goodness.
Right.
He chastens us. He. When we say to a God that we know exists, I don't honor you as God, right? God struggles with us for a while mm-hmm. to draw us. He, you say you don't want God, you want something else. God will say, okay, you can have something else.
Right.
All right, you can have something
That's
else.
Right.
See how dry that is. See how empty that yeah. something else is. And he lets you have it to the fullest. Before, well, unless you're like me, right? I got to get to the fullest and then a little bit further. And then I say, well, there's nothing down this road. It's time for me to turn around and go back. The parable of
the prodigal son,
right? And how many times have I taken the riches of God, the Father, and I went to the pigs with it?
That's right.
Right? I know y'all ain't like that. I'm just talking about me, you know?
We've all done it in one way. One way,
amen. Because that scenario can lay out in so many different avenues, but the truth still remains, right?
What would have kept him there is his pride.
Yeah.
So he had to humble himself to go back to the Father.
Yes. And when he did, the Father met him right where he was.
And he was expecting
amen.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He would be hoping.
I am
he
not
was
worried.
Hoping he could
yes.
be the hirelings,
yeah.
you know.
I, all I want to do is eat from the crumbs of the Lord's table. That's all I really want to do.
He didn't recognize how loved he was.
Right.
He did not realize
and then
how loved he was.
When he did, what did the Father do for him? He ran to him. He gave him the signet ring. He gave him the robe.
From the distance.
He saw him from the
Put
distance.
A robe on him, which
a,
is
a sign of authority.
Well,
right?
we see the struggle that we have with Christ, with God, in with Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob wrestled
yes.
with Jesus Christ, and he takes his name from Jacob, and he calls him
Israel.
Because the name Israel means thou hast power with God.
Right.
So in that wrestling, he allowed Jacob to have victory,
mm-hmm.
and he has now power with God. Which
right.
Is, right. So we're Israel.
Right.
We are the Israel,
mm-hmm.
Jews and Gentiles, who are real believers. We have power with God.
What's kind of interesting about that is it cost him something. He halted the rest
yeah.
of his life. He
yeah.
was, but it cost
but
him something.
He had faith.
That's right.
I'm dealing with God.
That's right.
My number
yes.
one deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we think of this wrestling with God, I don't want you to think of Greco wrestling.
Right.
All right. I want you to think, I'm going to put God in an arm hold, you know. Wrestling with God with my sin.
Yeah.
I'm wrestling with God with my iniquity. And God says, all right, I'll wrestle with you with that. Because I guarantee you, you do not want to get into hand-to-hand combat with the God that created everything.
Right.
You won't last. All right? Ask the 50,000 Syrians that died in a night, right? From an angel, not even God.
So, you can start there. Just
yeah.
realize when you're licked.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when you're licked. God will probably, well, in the case of Jacob, he broke his hip. He popped his hip out of joint.
That's right.
So when you wrestle with God and you decide to go God's way at the end, your hip's probably
yeah.
going to be out of whack.
Yeah.
But he's got a constant reminder of what was done for him.
There you
yeah.
go. The scars, the only scars in heaven are the ones that Jesus brought with him. The scars in my life, I still bear. Right, I bear my decision to get married when I was 18, to have two kids, to get divorced when my youngest child was 2 years old. I bear the scars of alcoholism, addictions of different types. I bear the scars of iniquity that flowed in my life throughout the years.
But they don't follow you to eternity.
That's right.
They'll stay here on the earth.
They'll stay here.
As long as I'm on the earth, they're with me. The struggles that I struggle with in my mind, I tell you guys, I haven't even told this to my wife, but she's going to hear it right now. I'm struggling right now with my abandoning my children and my grandkids, you know, 30 years ago. More than 30 years, I was probably in my 20s. All right. I didn't realize what I was doing back then, but now it's bothering me. Okay, it is. It's bothering me. And there ain't nothing I can do about it, you know? The only thing that I could do about it is fold everything else and move to Alabama. But I can't do that because God called me here. I'm in Canaan land, right? This is one.
You can do what you can do.
Yeah.
You can pray.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do.
You got
to confess it.
This, yeah.
Yeah, you know? And trust God that he's going to take care of it. Right? And that's where I'm at right now. This week in my head, you know, there are so many things up here. I was, I tell you what, I was close to trying to buy a van and head south, my sister.
Don't you think that's oppression from Satan?
Yeah, I do.
It's not conviction from the Holy Spirit.
Amen, yes, yes.
But it's going to mess with your mind so that you're so bound up during the week that you're not effective.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 1,000%. And that's where I had to come to the understanding through the week, you know, that this isn't coming from God. This is coming from the enemy accusing me of my past sin.
And now, God never keeps doing it.
Right. He doesn't keep doing that.
He convicts you of sin. You got a chance to work on it right then.
Yes. And but it doesn't take away the scars.
That's
right?
You'll have regrets.
Yes.
But I think like Gail is saying, the devil wants you concentrating on those. Keep going back to them.
Yes.
Harping on them instead. But God wants you to move on. Want you to move forward.
That's done. Now what can I do
right here?
The other piece of that is we don't forget, because that's how we have compassion on others
that
don't know him, knowing we were there, knowing we had done things that, you know, I've said it before, if anybody can be forgiven of the murder of a child, of a baby, then they can be forgiven of
anything. Amen.
And so I know I'm forgiven, and I think about the result, you know, of a child that was not born. But I also, that helps me have mercy on anybody else and the sins they have, because my goodness, there isn't anything worse.
And that book is not finished yet.
No.
I mean, who knows what, look what he did with me.
Yeah.
Who knows what God has in store for you and your...
Well, I was actually pointing to Alan and this guy, Justin. Steve, as we were on the way, back, you know, from the auction, I was just kind of laying some of this stuff out, and Justin said, "You can't leave. You're called here. You can't leave. I don't care what you want to do. That's not God's call for you.
If He wants you to leave, you'll know.
Amen. And He'll have to change my wife's heart, because I can't leave this.
Right.
I mean, this is a building, you know." This one, actually, it looks like a pretty good hardware store to me. You know, this could be a true value. But that, because this isn't what matters. What does matter is my heart for Steve Stein over there, right? I can't leave this. I've got to trust what's back there to what's back there and lean forward to the high call of Christ. I was called here by God to do this. Didn't know it when I got here, but I know that now. So regardless of how I feel, your feelings are a liar. That's why we need to know truth, to rightly divide the word of truth. Because if you're called to something, you can't leave the something you're called to.
And like Doug said, God makes it clear.
Amen. Yeah.
We don't have to wander and hem and haw. And He'll open the doors if He wants it to have it.
Yes.
So my neighbor wanted to have honeybees, but she couldn't afford it. She couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So she prayed. Now this is the one that she's kind of rough.
Yeah,
girl, right?
Oh, the one that helped you move?
Yes.
All right,
she's a tough cookie, but she will talk about God.
Woman. Yeah.
Oh, she's just this tiny little thing, but she will talk about God. Her, like, F-bombs.
Yeah.
No, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I was talking to her. I just saw her recently, and she said, I wanted honeybees, and but she said, I couldn't afford it. I didn't know where to even start, and I'm so busy with other things. So she prayed. She said, Lenny, I prayed.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Kelly, that's fantastic. She said, within a week, a woman reached out to her and said, I'm going to stop having honeybees, and I have all this equipment. I have hives. I have all this equipment. Then she gets it delivered, and she's not sure how she's going to get the bees. I have a picture on my phone. She said, I came to check on the chickens. I look up, and in the barn, in the wood, near the ceiling, near the roof, is a huge number of honeybees.
Honeybees.
On her property, right there, And the thing that we shared, and she's telling me this, and I'm just so excited for her. And I said, Kelly, what he's telling you is when he answers in abundance.
Yeah.
He answered, because she's praying about homeschooling and all that
yeah.
stuff. I said, take that answer and recognize that he will answer you
yeah.
abundantly.
Yeah.
Not
he didn't give you a B.
Exactly.
He gave you 10,000 B's, right?
Exactly.
And all the stuff to keep him in.
It's just
right?
amazing.
And
our
so
God is so good.
He is God.
So good.
And understanding, rightly dividing the word of truth, having the word of truth girt around you, right? Having that girt around you, that as your belt that holds up everything. It's your utility belt, that word of truth as it's girt around you in Ephesians chapter 6. We won't get there today. But we need to look at that. In this thought, in this rightly dividing the word, how to use the word of God. Right? Because it's not just understanding it, showing yourself approved unto God, but it's using the word in a way that you bear much fruit, which gives God the glory. Right? John 15. All right. I guess I can get over there to that. John 15 talks about he's the vine, the Father's the husbandman, and that God desires us to bear how much? Much fruit.
Bear.
He
produces.
Yes, he produces. You bear it.
And the more you study, the more fruit he produces.
Yes. And so, I'm in 14. That's why I was looking so weird. The whole thing, I am 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, okay, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Amen. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. All right, so just looking at those little 9 verses right there, okay? Abiding is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Abiding really is a free will thing. You've got to want to abide in it. God is not going to force you to stay there.
That's right.
If you abide in him, you can ask what you will. Why? Because you're not asking of your will, you're asking of what the vine is asking of the branch to ask for.
Right. And it's important to know what abide in him means.
Thank you. Come with that.
The only place we have of him here is this.
That's right.
Thy word
right.
is true.
Abide in
right.
the word.
And he says, I'll abide in you. If he is the word of truth,
mm-hmm.
that means the more you abide in him, the more the word of truth abides in
there
you.
There you go.
I just got to bring this up about the Once Saved, Always Saved group where we have exposed here in this
right.
church. Verse 2,
bear not fruit,
every
yeah.
branch in me,
yeah.
they were in him
right.
that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Yeah.
Where is the Once Prayed, Always Saved there?
It's not available.
It's not there.
It's not there.
It's not
showing yourself. Go ahead, sister.
Verse 10.
Yeah.
If ye keep my commandments. Then he's telling
uh-huh.
us what abiding is.
Yeah.
If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He tells us what abiding is.
Mm-hmm.
It is keeping with his word. It is following the
And
word.
Why
you there?
Would you do that?
Well,
you need faith.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
and
how
faith
you
cometh
look.
By hearing.
By hearing.
It's all interrelated.
And hearing
yeah.
by the
you
word of
just,
God, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The more
and
you get, the more you're surprised
yeah.
by what you
Go ahead, Gayla.
I was just going to say, sometimes, it's us needs to come along as people so that they know that they understand.
Thank you.
Always saved. And that's our responsibility to disciple. And that not convict them,
right,
but to come alongside them and say, hey, this is what it means.
Right. That's where we're talking in Hosea. 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 So anyhow, Hose and Hose B. So anyhow, in Hosea, right, he says, I drew you, right, how's that say it? This is chapter 11, verse 4. I drew them with the cords of man and with the bonds of love. Okay, he drew them with the cords of men. He drew them with what men really want, the cords of men. What do men really want? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Really and truly, if you ask men, what do I want? I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. I want to be part of something greater than I am. So that's the bonds that God says, I'm drawing you in that. Now that I've got you coming in, I'm going to tie you with the cords of love. This is how you abide in Christ, by keeping his commandments and loving.
What man wants, he thinks he can find in amusements.
Amen.
They don't work.
Well, what does amusement mean?
It's against using. It's against thinking.
Yes, it's against thinking. It's amusement. To muse means you contemplate, you meditate on these things.
And A means opposite.
A means opposite. So you're not thinking, you're not contemplating, you're not meditating, you're not absorbing.
Muse.
Muse, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. Hosea, what did Jesus say about the yoke?
Mm-hmm.
Put your yoke on
me.
So that, yes. Hosea, I just caught this.
Yeah.
I drew them with cords of not men, a man.
Amen.
Who is
yes.
that man? That man is Jesus
Christ.
Jesus. And
amen.
With bands of love.
Yes.
That's Jesus Christ. What are the cords? This.
Amen.
Right? And I was unto them that they take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them.
Yeah.
I never saw that until you just brought that up. This is Hosea 11 is talking about Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
He's talking about Jesus Christ, and he's talking about our relationship with him in such a way that we can...
That doesn't pertain to us today.
Yeah.
That's right.
Old Testament. It's Old Testament. Man, we can't use the Old Testament. Sorry. But so in that... This is right. This is what rightly discerning the word of God really means, that we can show ourselves approved unto God, that the workman be not ashamed. So if, go ahead, sister.
I was going to say, just like Wendy corrected her neighbor about what it means to pray and have faith. She's steadily leading her
yes.
deeper. So whether this woman has a saving faith, that's what our job is to be out there amongst people and say, whoa, you know, yes, that's good, but here's
something better.
This is what it reveals about our Father.
Yeah.
Your Father, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And so in that, how often, instead of coming along beside your neighbor and talking about having that communication, right, that this is my need, and she learned about prayer through Wendy years ago, months ago, you know, when y'all were first talking about stuff, your campfires that you used to have around.
She's known about prayer. She's safe talking to me about it.
Right.
She's not safe talking to a lot of her friends about it, but she knows I'm safe to talk about prayer and God, right?
Now, how safe are you for a lost person to come talk to you about spiritual things?
Yeah.
Because often, when we get in communication to a lost person, somebody who doesn't know the Lord, that's still caught in the snare of Satan, right? And we're in that communication with them. We don't do the simple thing. We go right to the jugular vein, right? Repent or burn in hell. I'm better than you. I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. Woo, great as
we
you.
Have no
Sorry,
patience. And that's why we're supposed to have patience.
Yeah.
We don't want to wait.
Well, I even think pulling them out of fire does not necessarily have to be like that.
No.
You know, pulling them out of the fire, say, you know, the unrepentant go to hell.
Yeah.
And they suffer for eternity. You know, mm-hmm. you don't, like you said, there's so many people that use that kind of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
You, even saving them out of the fire, you don't have to talk like
that. No. Alan told me about a Baptist church, all right?
Yesterday.
Yeah, tell the story. You know it better than I do.
When the Pike Fair comes on, they have a parade to open the prayer. Or the parade. Yeah, open the prayer. Thank you. There is a church in Pike that has a float And as the float comes through the town, they tell how condemned the whole town is because they're going to hell. They're not.
Unless you're part of it.
How does that go over?
They're in the parade, right?
Isn't that every year?
And they're in the parade every year.
That's crazy.
You know,
and by the way, the church is so poor that it can't open its doors on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But the pastor's got enough people to come on a float and help people.
It's the same. The same spirit that stands outside of Walmart with those guys with the big signs. God hates you. You're going to hell. You're a homosexual, or you're a whatever. You're this. You're going to hell, and I'm not.
Yeah.
Repent. Believe in God. That doesn't draw. That's not the cords of love. All right.
It's actually pride.
Amen.
Well, I do have to say there was. I knew a man who he came to Christ through somebody that was very harsh.
Well,
and
that's
said,
where
this is where you're going, and that was love.
Right.
Because then he knew there was something different. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There was something
better.
Well,
that's where it says in Jude 23, that some are saved by the fire,
yes.
out of the fire, snatched
yes.
out of the fire.
Yes.
All right?
We are all different.
Amen.
Yeah.
We don't have
the
same.
They will never be able to say that they were never told.
Right.
That they are going.
But how many times did Christ caution about going to hell
mm-hmm.
versus the love of God?
Yes.
Right.
That is the love
yes.
of God.
Right.
You are condemned, John 3:17.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You're condemned already. It's
right.
a done deal.
But it's not a matter of, well, you're going. It's like, this is a place that you don't want to go.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. If you get there, you will regret it.
Yes.
And we have
proof
of that with the rich
and,
man.
And we're supposed to fear him.
Yes.
And that has so many connotations to what
no.
that word fear means. There's a whole bunch to it.
Yeah.
Which comes down to rightly dividing the
yeah.
word of truth for the individual, right? As you're, there are some folks that you got to get, I mean, you got to grab them by the shirt
yeah.
collar and
yeah.
bang their head against the concrete.
Yeah.
You got to do that.
Some people, that's the way it works.
I was drawn knowing that God could love even me,
yeah.
right? With my sin, with the things that I had done. And then Ronnie Lalonde, I ran out of gas driving from Enterprise, Alabama, my last dollar, my last dime, a fifth of whiskey, a few six-packs of beer, and a tank of gas. I ran out of gas, not whiskey and beer, ran out of gas in front of his church way early in the morning. You know, Warren Street Baptist Mission.
Well, I
on
wonder
Saturday
why that
night,
happened.
Right? Sunday morning. He comes, he gets there early, 5 o'clock, and he knocks on my van window and says, can I help you? I said, oh, I don't know if you're going to get a shot, you know. I don't know if you can help me or not. And he said, hey, man, the dog. Brought me in, you know, I explained my situation to him. He started teaching me through the Word of God. This was not that day. That day, you know, I was way in a mess. But he directed me a place I could get a job on Monday, right? On that first day, on a Sunday morning, when I was too drunk to stand.
He met your felt
he,
need.
Amen.
He met your
he
felt
He met me where I was at. He shared the love of God. He taught me through the New King James Bible, okay, that I was loved in the Father, even in the situation that I was in. That's what drew me to Christ, was his love for me. Not the fear of hell, not the fear of God, all right? Because I didn't know enough there to be fear of God. It was the bonds of man and the love of God which drew me into a hunger to know more about this God that could love even me.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is how, like, people have been witnessing to me, but it wasn't fear and it wasn't love. I mean, it was eventually love, but it was the evidence
yes.
that he was real.
Yeah.
And that's what really grabbed me is Jesus Christ was real. And then all of a sudden, because I knew I would sin.
Right.
That's what drew me. But it's like the evidence that I realized that he was a real person in time and space.
Right.
I was a bartender sitting outside the bar I was working for, a college bar. And just after graduating from college, and I bought a book at Top Supermarket in Fredonia, The Late Great Planet Earth.
Yeah.
And as I read that book, it turned me into a Bible believer.
Yeah.
So then people could use the Bible on me. And then I've known a lot of people, met a lot of people who have been, that made a difference in their life.
Oh,
I went back and reread it, and I'm saying, how did this do this?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Amen. How did this work?
But isn't that part of the discerning of the word of truth?
Yeah.
Okay? Some knew what you needed to hear.
Yeah.
Instead of condemning you,
yeah,
they're making God
mm-hmm.
real.
Yeah.
To you, you saw that God's word is something that might be trusted.
So yeah. Now when I'm witness to, I listen.
Right.
Yes. Right.
Or I might not have before.
Yes.
Right.
See, and once again, the evidence, no testimony is the same.
Right.
The evidence that Christ changes lives because we all have a different
mm-hmm.
testimony.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
See.
I was just thinking, I did everything else, and I did it wrong.
Yeah.
So I end up in the inner city with two kids, no, nothing. And so it was the idea of, well, and that's exactly what I told the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When I prayed, it was nothing, no choice I have made has been good.
Yeah.
This is, I have gotten myself here. If you're there, show
yeah.
me. And he did. So it's fascinating, isn't it? All the different
mm-hmm.
ways, because somebody could have shown me the evidence of the Bible, that would have meant nothing where I was.
Thank you. That's where I'm trying to get to today.
Yeah.
Nancy's brother was saved because at my dad's funeral, he heard the story about how my dad had prayed on Thursday.
Yeah.
And he said, Lord, this is Paul Yaw, and I'm ready to come home.
Right.
And within a couple of days, he went home. And that
yeah.
made such an impression on him.
Yes.
His heart softened up to hear
mm-hmm.
what
yes.
the Word of God would have to
say. My wife got saved from the Left Behind series. Okay.
God,
we were reading.
What we're looking for at
yes.
that time,
no,
so he fills that need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He puts that in front
yeah.
of
yes.
us. And I think that's what we need to do.
Amen.
When witnessing to people, we have to fill that need that
yeah.
they're
that
looking
they perceive.
For.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There you
By
go.
Trusting God to show you what to do,
right.
and not you have a pre-planned
right. yes.
way of dealing
yes.
with them.
So rightly dividing the word isn't so much for your edification. It's for the lost edification, is to draw the lost. If you read your Bible, no matter what situation comes up, you ought to not only have the Word of God, but your personal testimony. We've all lived through stuff.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
I don't think any of us came out of the womb sinless. Okay?
No, you
We're,
know we didn't.
We, I know we didn't. Yeah.
Especially when the Bible says you're conceived in
yeah.
sin. That's even, that's in the womb.
Yeah. Before I was formed in the womb, I was a sinner,
but,
right?
But one thing I would say, Curtis, you said that to draw sinners, but comfort believers too.
Yes.
Comfort believers
yes.
and draw sinners.
Right.
Those
two.
Yeah.
And this is what the rightly dividing the word really and truly is. It's not just showing myself to God that I'm approved. What makes me approved is bearing fruit. That's where the Father gets glory. So how does one bear fruit? Well, you remain in the vine. If you remain in the vine, God sends His Holy Spirit through you, and you're able to minister to people in the mess that they are in because you were in that mess. And you came out of that mess through your own power? No. Through the power and the love and the might of God.
Praise God.
Right? So that's where the rightly dividing the word really and truly is. If we're going to be that church, the group of people that really and truly know how to minister in times of difficulty, we need to rightly divide the word. All right? We need to wrap our hearts, our minds into God's word to love people. We said this when we started this church so many times. We're here to love people in the middle of their mess. I cannot fix you. All right?
You do not depend on getting everything you need here.
Amen. Yeah.
Right.
You need daily.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need daily bread. Not,
yes.
Not just
where,
all a Sunday, I'll hear a little bit for an
mm-hmm.
hour.
This is
yeah.
where we congregate together
yes.
to worship Him and to study Him. But
yes.
you need to be doing that on your own.
Yes,
right?
You do. Amen. You know, I can only, Tom, me, Kevin, like skipping a rock on the same pond. And so, we can only chew food for somebody else for so long.
Right?
The dingoes or the birds, right? They eat the worms and they regurgitate it to their babies for a while. Right? After that, that bird, that little dingo, has got to grow up and learn how to hunt and learn how to survive on its own.
Yeah, this place is for you to create the desire to do it on your own.
Yeah.
And to trust God can do that on his own.
Amen.
And to encourage others.
And to yes.
Well,
yes.
God is an individual God. He meets each one of us individually in our own place. And the only way he can do that is you talking to him and you hearing from him.
Right.
By this.
And go ahead.
The other thing is with Kelly, the woman I had that conversation with, she doesn't attend a church.
Right.
They haven't come to church. They haven't really.
You haven't looked.
They think it's the right thing to do because they have a child.
Right.
So they both think it's the right thing to do, but they haven't done it. And I was able to say, Kelly, that story of the beast, how God provided you. Do you know how many people would be blessed by that?
Yeah.
Do you know how many people?
What a testimony.
It's not just about what you get. Mm-hmm. It's what you give. And so it is. It all comes around.
How do we defeat Satan? It tells us in the Revelation by the word of God and your personal testimony.
Yes. Yes.
Because a lot of folks will say that book, the Bible, is written by man. Okay, well, let me tell you what God did in me that was written in my heart.
Yep.
Wasn't written by man. And he changed. He saved. He changed.
The miracles Jesus did was to give him credibility.
Yeah.
The miracle happens here is to give God credibility about what he says.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what do you do with this truth? This next week, we're going to be confronted by a plethora of people. I love that. He gave me that word a while back.
Did you know what it was?
Whole bunch. Yeah. A plethora? What's that? We're going to be faced with people on every side of us all week long, all year long. People that are going to be hungry, that are going to be thirsting, that are looking. We're living in a great time right now because there are so many just queer things happening.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about homosexual queer. I'm just talking about weird, odd, that even the lost are saying, that's queer.
Yeah.
All right? And not talking about homosexual, not talking about, see, you can't even use the word properly anymore. Right?
Look how much damage that tropical storm did. Not even a hurricane.
Yeah.
After it comes on shore, it does. Did you see what it did in southern New York?
Yeah.
On the southern tier?
Mm-hmm.
That's near where she grew up.
Rivers.
Just amazing. The damage.
Barns, sheds, houses floating down the river. Yeah.
So they didn't have flood insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're wiped out.
That's too bad. Is that
too bad? Well, that's all the way from Florida up to...
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it happened in North Carolina, South Carolina, everywhere. Yeah. You know, we got an inch of sprinkles.
We got pounded.
Did you?
Yeah. What were you saying when I come in?
Yeah, your house might wash off into the creek.
Is overflowing down there.
My sister is in Vine Valley, and she had rivers going through her yard.
I come back to the creek, and I can see ground through the water.
Wow.
Oh.
So, nothing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was east of here.
Yeah.
I've never seen the Genesee River so brown down in Wellsville.
I might run to the dam tomorrow and
take a look at it.
And see how high the water is.
But in those things, people are looking. Who would have ever thought that in the Olympics, and I know how wicked they are, and I hate to bring this up, that a man won the gold medal?
Two. Gold medals.
Yeah. And the men won those.
Won and gave praise to God, but I didn't.
It wasn't one of those two homosexuals.
No, but it was someone else.
Right.
It was a young lady, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I
so.
Gave real praise to God. It was a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. One of the runners, wasn't it? I only half heard
the story.
I think that Curtis is saying, when have you ever heard of men dressing up like women? Beating the snot out of them, calling themselves women.
And then celebrated as heroes.
That's right.
But you know who pushed that was Obama. That's only recent.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Before that, people would have been disgusted and wouldn't believe it.
That's the queer thing that I'm talking about right now. It is strange. It's strange. I was brought up with three sisters, and I was told never to hit them back.
Yeah.
If you can't control them, they're girls. All right? If you can't control their arms until they calm down, you're not allowed to punch them in the face. I learned that by breaking my sister's nose.
Well, when in the last 2,000 years did you see a whole country say, stay out of church?
Yeah. Right.
Stay out of church and put this diaper on your face.
Yeah.
And make sure you stay 6 feet apart.
And a whole plethora of things like that.
Worldwide.
Not just here. This is all over the world.
I watched my grandkids, and in their house, there were the forms to start school. This is the information they need to know. This is what you're doing, starting ninth grade, da, da, da. At the top, it said, what is your assigned gender? The gender you were assigned at birth. This is an official school form.
Wow.
And they have all been reprinted for assignment of gender instead of saying, are you male or female?
Because when the doctor pulls you out of the womb, he goes, let me see. I think we'll call you a boy.
Yeah.
Or a poodle, you know. You know, you're a poodle. And so, rightly divide, there's going to be people asking questions. If they're not asking you already, then maybe you're not walking close enough to the word. Okay? That's going to burn a little bit. And you're not able to give them if you speak anything, let it be the oracles of God. We just went through that in 1 Peter this past week. The oracles of God. If you say anything, let it be God's word.
Don't That's the only thing with power.
Amen.
Whatever you say, it has no power.
Yeah.
Well, I think that comes back to the point that being in the word causes us to be full of compassion.
Yes.
And when we're full of compassion, the only thing that we can really share is the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth is God's word.
Yeah.
And it will meet the need whether they see it or not. They may reject it, but if we get comfortable just saying the word and not looking for a pat on the back or a good response, but let the Holy Spirit take the word and do what it needs to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus.
Do it out of compassion.
Filled with grace and truth.
Yeah.
Okay? Grace comes first. Grace comes. What is grace? What's grace? Come on.
Unmerited
favor. All right? Grace is the love of God, and then the truth is the word of God. So you meet them with unmerited favor, right? Loving people in the middle of their mess, and then you put that, like making a sandwich. You know, people like bread, but I think the good part of the sandwich is the stuff that's in the middle, because if you just take bread and fold it over, it's kind of...
Right, keep your hands dry.
Yeah, amen. Pardon?
Keep your hands dry.
Keep your hands dry, yeah. When you're sailing across the stormy seas, you need a sandwich. That way you can hold to the wheel, right? And so the good thing is the truth within the bread, right? The grace of God is the bread, so you don't get your hands greasy, right? The truth is the meat inside of that. Meeting people in the middle of their need, in the middle of their want, well, not their want, their perceived want, with the truth of God's word. So you may think you want this to satisfy your flesh, but what you're really wanting is God. What you're really wanting is love, joy, peace, self-control. Oh,
charity.
Amen. What you're really wanting is charity. And by the grace of God, one of these Sundays we're going to get into what charity really is in 1 Corinthians 13. I think it's going to be next week in the Sunday service. But today, I think we kind of touched the base on rightly dividing the word. What it means, how to do it, how to do it with meaning, with depth. Because it's not just memorizing scripture.
Right, right.
You know?
He'll bring those. If it's in you, if it's in your soul, if you're studying... He will bring out the verses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I get that. If you want to do that, fine. But that's not how this works. If he's hiding the word in your heart, if you're hiding it in there, whatever situation comes up, he's going to bring up specific verses to meet specific. You didn't even know. We've all done it.
Well, we're doing it here today.
Right.
Y'all had no idea.
Right.
In fact, up until this morning, I was teaching this a different way. Right? I was going at it a different way, but I was praying this morning when I got in. God said, yeah, you're not wrong, but you're not right either.
And everybody's like responding with verses that are in their heart.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know? And so,
But sometimes God does ask you to discipline yourself.
Yes.
And
he,
train yourself
often
like
he does.
On a certain subject.
Yes.
To learn a lot of verses or to write down a lot of verses and then to hide them in your heart.
Yes.
Seriously. Yes.
And it may not be for you specifically, but it might be for another person.
Amen.
That
mm-hmm.
you feel a burden for.
Yes.
That's what you have to do if you're going to write a message.
Yeah.
Study
mm-hmm.
for a message.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
there anything...
It's more about prayer than it is writing.
If you're talking about memorization.
Well, there is that. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, if... Is there any better use of your time?
No.
Than
no.
to take God's word over and over and over until it becomes part of the way
yeah,
you think.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Is there any better use of time? So you can say, well, you know, about memorization, whether it's good or bad. Or, but there isn't any better way to spend
right.
your time.
I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against
yes.
thee.
Yeah.
Right?
It changes us.
It
when
does.
We read it because it's living.
Mm-hmm.
It changes us.
It changes us. And there's nothing wrong with memorizing scripture. I'm not even pretending that. Rightly memorize, but memorizing it without using it is what Lucifer did.
Right,
right.
Memorization on its own.
Amen. Is not. You memorize it as a tool to meet the people in the middle of their hurt, you know, in the middle of their woes, and to be attentive to what the Spirit. How the Spirit brings up certain scripture to you,
yeah,
I don't
get. And that's what I say about memorization. It's like you're memorizing things that you go, I need to remember that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's not like some program.
Right.
It's something where God has touched you and you go, I need to memorize that
mm-hmm.
verse because it's spoken.
That's why you underline your Bible.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's why you
yeah.
take notes.
That's why you take notes. You know? Those things. We're going to be able to stop at the right time today. All right? Why? Yeah, I know. I'm purposely pumping the brakes here so that we can have time to talk a little bit.
What are we going
to
do with that 15 minutes?
I don't know. I guarantee you, it will go faster than you think.
I know what I'm going to do with about 2 minutes.
2 minutes of it. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like a wee little man, I do. And so, anyhow. Again, well, quick as you get off of it, see how fast you go in the gutter? You know, if there wasn't a gutter, my mind would have nowhere to roam. Folks, I love you. And I really enjoy this time of study, this time of looking over God and His Word. And hopefully we will rightly divide God's Word. That we will be giving glory to God in all things, like it says in John.
In the first part of that verse, to
study to show thyself approved. So we learn that if you study the Word of God, God can pull that out of you. So, and we also learn not to get involved with silly words. There's nothing wrong with word studies, all right? There really isn't. I love a word study.
It'll take you all over the Bible.
It'll take you all over the Bible. But when you're using it, when you're applying the Word of God in a way that you can reach the lost, they really don't care what the Greek says.
Right.
You know?
I don't care what the Greek says.
I've just used that. You
know
that. Or dozen chain link scriptures. What they need is Christ for right now, in the middle of their hurt, in the middle of their questioning, in the middle of that young girl with cancer, lost her life. Their parents, her parents right now, don't care how much scripture you have memorized.
That's right.
What they do care about is you coming along beside them, 11-year-old girl, showing the compassion of God for them, not condemning them because they drank and smoked and
right.
do all the other stuff, that they need Jesus in the flesh. Study yourself approved unto God, that you would not be ashamed. Don't get me wrong, scripture is huge in that. But rightly dividing that, your friend, right, Kelly, right? Your friend Kelly, she didn't need to know about Samson getting honey out of the carcass of a lion, right?
Unless God said
so. Unless God
says
so. Amen.
She needs
yeah.
to, but not
yeah.
otherwise.
Well,
so,
hey, there's different levels of meeting people. There's the
yes.
unsaved. There's the people that are saved but are
Thank
on the
you.
Note. And then there's people that are saved and are supposed to be on meat. So there's different levels, and that comes with discernment.
That comes with discernment.
I think The thing we really ought to do is pray that God will use us where he wants and how he wants.
Right.
Instead of concentrating and say, well, I just need to win somebody or try to win somebody.
Yeah. I've got that whole thing. I've got to win somebody to God. That's straight out of the pits of hell.
Oh, yeah.
You don't win people. Amen. You know? And so I said, we have 15 minutes.
But that's what a lot of
people
do.
Amen.
I've got to win three people this week.
Amen.
And that's what they'll say.
Yeah. I've got to win three. And guess what? All the folks that they may have led can be unled because they led somebody, not God led somebody. And so anyhow, I love you folks. Very excited for the rest of the sermon, for the rest of the time that we're going to spend together today. So let's go to the Lord, lift these things up before God. Father, we thank you. We do love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word, Lord, that we as a body of believers can sit here and rightly divide it, Lord, that we can know what truth is, and knowing that that truth sets us free from fear, sets us free from bondage, sets us free from false doctrine, sets us free from our own minds from time to time. And Lord, I ask that you would continually work that freedom, that love, that mercy in this church, in this generation of people, Father, that you would be glorified in all things, Lord. We do thank you. We praise you. We ask a blessing in this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Davey. Thank you so much. How are you feeling?
I don't feel well.
Okay. Yeah. Just reacting, not feeling.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, stop.